think you're going to love today, because we're going to talk about the 6 copywriting strategies for unique marketing, marketing that makes you stand out as the individual business that you are, something that no one else can quite compare with. And, you know, that's great. Maybe they're their own unique self too. In fact, I'm sure they are. So let's embrace what makes you unique so that you stand out to the people who will be the right fit for you. Welcome to Emma Gibbons Content and Copy. My name's Emma, and I'm the founder of a boutique agency specializing in branded copywriting and content writing for small and medium-sized businesses. I know from experience working with hundreds of businesses of all shapes and sizes that compassionate, client-centered copy and content ultimately does 3 incredibly powerful things. 1, it helps your ideal client by matching them to a product or service that's going to improve their life. 2, it positions you as the guy they think of first and trust wholeheartedly. And 3, it actually improves conversion and retention for a thriving business long term. Are you excited to stand out to more of the clients you adore? Let's dive into some content and copy. So for sure, you'll know that this video is for you if you fit into one of these 2 profiles. Let me know. Profile 1, you feel like you're doing all the things. You're always out there on social media, especially, and you're hearing crickets. There's no engagement happening. You're not closing customers. You're not making more sales. And when you go and look for solutions, every single time it feels like you're being told to do the ideal customer avatar exercise, and you will scream if you're told to do it one more time. Profile 2. You had an explosion in your business. You were growing consistently, but now you stalled out. You're declining, or you feel like you're on the precipice of it. And yet you feel like you're working harder than ever. And you're actually probably worried that all this effort you've put into creating a business that gives you freedom is now in itself taking it away, because you always have to be there for it, working harder than you ever have before for the same or less results. So the key, whether you're a little earlier in your business or you are established and you're trying to keep moving forward, to keep growing, to keep bringing in the same level or better sales, this is for you, because unique marketing will solve it. If you're experienced, what got you to that level is not what's going to get you to the next one. And if you're aspiring, skip the hardship that the experienced people are going through now. I'm sure they don't want you to go through it. You know, you want to be able to be set up so that you have a trajectory of growth and stability long term. Having unique marketing will get you both there. So stay tuned. Copywriting strategy 1 for unique marketing is to use archetypal words and phrases. So there are 12 primary brand archetypes that everybody recognizes. They come from Carl Jung's archetypes. He was a psychoanalyst in the early 20th century who realized that there are these universal stories or characters that show up across cultures, across time periods. So these include things like the magician figure. They include things like the sage, you know, that kind of mentor or wise one who you can look up to. They include things like the hero, right? These really consistent characters. And every brand has a character, an archetype that they really embody the most. Now, in my business, we specialize in branded copywriting. So we go in deep into archetypes. You don't just have one, you have a subtype. And then there's a mix of 3. And it's so powerful. There's nothing compares to it. This is like the key to truly unique marketing. And still, almost no one who is a small to medium-sized entrepreneur is using archetypes. So just by knowing or investigating what your dominant or primary archetype is, you'll be able to start to sound unique, because it's usually the big businesses like Coca-Cola or Walmart that are making absolute use of this. Like, Coca-Cola is the innocent, which is why you see cute polar bears and, you know, names on the can. So it feels individual. There's a lot of family references. So they're able to lean into that just shortcuts to the subconscious mind, something that's familiar to them and that resonates with them. So investigate your archetype. I have a video on the basics of brand archetype, so I'm going to leave it for you on YouTube in the description box below and in the card. And on the podcast version, you'll see a link in the show notes to that episode. So like I said, we create your unique brand archetype mix in my business. So we offer something called the Brand Messaging Bible, which is your holy grail of a unique marketing message. And one component of it is your brand archetype report. So we create a completely individualized mix because we're not just giving you a dominant type. We're actually going to be breaking it down into your three types and the way that they show up in your business. So it's going to be crystal clear for you exactly what to do with them. You're not going to have any doubts about what archetypes are. You're not going to have any doubts about what anecdotes to use, what words to use. Like if you're the magician, you're probably going to use the word magic. Yeah, but there are real nuances to that. Maybe you're going to name something after mythological creatures. You know, maybe you are going to create a magical experience when someone opens your box. Maybe you can set something up so that little, I've seen this before in a PR kit that someone got on YouTube. It was literally these butterflies that you could wind up. And so if you had wound them up before putting them in the box, you open the box, the butterflies come out. There's such interesting ways to your brand, to use your brand archetypes that are not just in copywriting. And we will tell you exactly how to do it. So it is incredibly powerful. The key is that it's going to help you stand out in a saturated market like no one else. And it's going to be easy for you to do because it's handed to you on a platter in this brand messaging Bible. So if that is interesting to you, that is just one of the ways that we give you your unique marketing message. So check it out in the description box below. I would love to chat through the option with you, but you also have a full explanation of everything that's included in it and exactly how this will help you to stand out. Overall, no matter what platform you're on, no matter what level of business you're at, your brand messaging Bible will help you make more sales. It will help you stand out in a crowded marketplace, and it will help you to connect on a level with your customers that builds deep loyalty and makes it so easy to have them come back and buy from you time and time again and give you referrals because those are pretty awesome too. Step two is to engage the senses, because when you engage the senses, you're going to be remembered because it just gets into these different parts of our memories in different ways. Like for example, still to this day, when I smell sunscreen, I see Canada's Wonderland. Like I'm there. It's so powerful how that scent memory gets triggered. And so by talking to someone, like if you describe a lemon in depth, right? You start to feel like your mouth is kind of dry or watering. It'll go either direction. And you might like pucker up a little bit. You might think about that lemon gelato you had in Sicily and how great it was. It's going to evoke so much and it's going to make it so memorable. Just like how when you were in Sicily, everything felt so alive, right? You remember in detail what it was like to arrive on that first day when you probably can't remember all the details of what you did yesterday. You can remember that that was the best pasta you've ever had in your life, or how salty the ocean smelled, and oh, it makes me want to go to Sicily. But draw in the senses with your product descriptions, with the way someone's going to feel after your service. So powerful for a really unique message. The third strategy is to tap into your values and your villains. So we can go into a lot more depth with this at some point, but essentially you want to know really strongly what you stand for and what you're standing up against. And that can even include who does your ideal person think is standing in their way? What do they think is standing in their way? Even if they just blame it on procrastination, if they blame it on themselves, knowing what their villains are or what your common villains are is really important. But so is what you do stand for, because I'm going to give you some stats. First off, millennials in 2022. According to PR Daily, millennials feel incredibly passionately that the brands they support should align with them on important issues, largely social issues. 83% of them want to know that the brand that they're investing in aligns with their values. And so that might be, on the one hand, knowing what your values are and being able to say autonomy, inclusivity, inner peace, whatever they are. But it also is acting on behalf of those values, showing it through your actions and being congruent between what you say you stand up for and what you really do stand up for. On top of that, 76% of these millennials want CEOs, or, you know, basically a representative from the business, to speak out about the issues that they care about. They really want action. Now, in 5 years, Gen Z is going to be the dominant workforce. They're going to have way more money than they already do. A lot of them are using their disposable incomes widely, but they're going to be that big demographic for most of us. And they feel even more strongly about these things. So according to Marketing Dive, Gen Z really wants to feel that brands are authentic. So 82% want to see real photos of real customers in the advertising, for example. And 72%
said that they would be more likely to buy from companies that supported social causes. Of course, they're going to mean social causes that they believe in. And authenticity extends further. So the way you talk about your products and the benefits it gives better line up with the actual benefits. I see this all the time in the world of skincare. So I'm a huge fan of learning about skincare. I follow all the big YouTubers like, you know, Hyrum and James Welsh. And when someone describes something sensationally, like on TikTok, for example, and it turns out to be a normal product, that makes people even more skeptical. Some people are less likely to try out a trend, even though if they're on TikTok, chances are high that they're a Gen Z, or they're going to be disappointed and they're just going to move on to the next trend because it can't live up to the type of hype that goes along with it. So this is true in general, though. No matter what it is that you are promising or committing to, there better be evidence to back that up. Right? Especially, I would say that people are becoming more and more literate around any market research or tests that you've done. So to use skincare again, people more and more, especially those super fans of skincare or makeup, for example, they are now really aware of the fact that a sample size of 12 women is not going to be representative of the entire world. Right? That is not enough to draw a lot of conclusions from. And yes, there are a lot of people who don't pay attention to it, but there is an increasing number of people who do. There's a lot more awareness around the details and people are doing more research before they're committing to purchases. That's why people don't walk into the drugstore as much as they often used to just pick something off the shelf because it looked pretty. Now, a lot of the time, they're going to be shopping online first, even if they do buy it in the drugstore in the end, but they're going to look at YouTube reviews. They're going to trust their favorite TikToker. They're going to double check that the Sephora reviews for it are not because an influencer got something for free. There's a lot of awareness around authenticity now, and it's just growing with the Gen Z generation. Another way that you can tap into values is by knowing what your values are and how you define them. And I go into a lot of detail about that in a previous YouTube video and on the podcast as well. So check out the link in the description box on YouTube or in the show notes on the podcast, and you'll get a link right to that episode where you will have concrete examples of how I define specific values and how you can do that yourself too. It's something super easy to share on social media, to put up on your website, on your about page or philosophy page, for example. And it really makes it super clear how you feel on certain issues as well sometimes. Strategy 4 is to tap into nostalgia. People love things that are familiar to them. So if your ideal audience grew up in the time of Lizzie McGuire, maybe make a reference to that. Maybe a meme that you put out on Instagram is inspired by Lizzie McGuire, even though someone who is twice as old as that person might not understand at all what this is. So that's a good example of how you can do that with imagery as much as with your words. And another piece here is that you can use anecdotes to also share. So that might be in writing or maybe on Instagram stories, for example, or if you're doing a YouTube live. You can have in mind an anecdote that will drive someone to action. So if you're asking someone to invest in a group coaching program with you for the first time, then think about the first time you invested in something similar that seemed a little outside your price range, or maybe it was a stretch, and the conversation you had with yourself, maybe the conversation you had with your partner about whether this was the right thing to do and how you came to that decision, and then how you knew it was right and why you would recommend it over and over and over again. Whether they do it with you or with someone else, they're going to want to do it eventually, for example. So being able to tap into familiar emotions, being able to say, hey, I've been where you are now, drawing on imagery that evokes nostalgia, it's so impactful for unique marketing. Most people are not getting that specific, and that's really a big key to it. Strategy 5 is personal or lifestyle branding. So this is not going to work for everybody, but if your brand has you at the face of it, it will shortcut connection because you're a real human. And we see this with parasocial relationships all the time. You can have a parasocial relationship with a brand, but a lot of the time, parasocial relationships are formed with celebrities, influencers, with the face of the brand. So let me tell you a little bit more about what parasocial relationships are in case that's a new concept for you. So according to Oxford Reference, they essentially define it as having a psychological relationship with someone that you've never met before. So for example, you might feel like when you see Lady Gaga on the street, I know everything about you. Oh my gosh, it's like we could be best friends, but you also at the same time know that Lady Gaga doesn't know who you are. I'm sure she'd be super sweet to you, but she wouldn't have that same level of relationship with you as you feel like you have with her. And for example, when famous people pass away, I know recently Betty White, it was devastating for a lot of people because we feel like we had a really true relationship with her because we saw her all the time, because we might have grown up with her, or we have been watching Golden Girls for all these years because she seems like our grandma. It could be for any sort of reason, but we have this relationship with the person and it feels like a real loss when they're gone. So parasocial relationships, now that we have so much access to people and more people, it's way more common. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I like that I felt that about Betty White. I like that I felt that about Robin Williams, for example. So it's not always a bad thing. And I think as the face of your brand, if you can embrace that that's the reality in a way that makes you feel comfortable, makes you feel safe, I think that that is so motivating that people feel really connected with you. And so when you are living the life that they aspire to live, and if you can speak to them in a way that feels true to them and authentic when you describe it, you're not just like lauding your success over them, but actually you can be really real with them. That creates such a shortcut to connection. They feel like they're your friend. So when you make a recommendation to them, this is why influencers work so well. When you feel like you're friends with them, when they recommend something, even if you know it's a paid placement, you trust their opinion, right? You feel like, well, they wouldn't take that placement unless they believed in it. And when you buy the thing for the first time that they recommend and it is good, it just deepens that even further. So even as a business owner, the same thing will happen. So embrace it if you have a very personal brand or a lifestyle brand. So the sixth strategy is to know your ideal customer's level of awareness, and you can create very unique marketing specific to their interests that will get them to take action like you want them to. So the levels go from level one, which is totally unaware of it all. They don't know they have a problem. They don't know there are solutions. They don't know you exist. All the way through to level five, who are your absolute raving fan. They will buy the upgrade. They will buy the most recent candle that you put on the market. They'll tell other people to buy them. They're your best affiliates. They're your people. You love them and you want them to be loyal and coming back. But as you can tell, there's a big abyss in between them, it seems like, unless you understand all of the levels along the way. And when you do know level one, how do I get them to level two? Level two, how do I get them to level three? When you know that, when you have the specific tactics, because there are very different tactics, you will be able to move more and more people towards that raving fan status. That's a very brief overview because it takes some time to get to know the levels of awareness. But once you do, it will change everything. So I'm hosting a totally free class. You'll be able to find a link to it in the description box on YouTube or in the show notes on the podcast. And we're going to go through the five levels of awareness and how these will help you know exactly how to move your people, wherever they're starting from, to raving fan status. Because chances are, if you're in that phase where you had success and now it's slowing down, you feel like you're working harder for half the results, that happens a lot of the time, it's because we're still talking to people like they're at a level that they're not at anymore. Your people are now more mature. They have more experience with you. Maybe they've bought from you before. So the thing is, if you don't know where your people are at the level of awareness, you're going to be putting out content and working really hard and doing launches that fall flat. So by knowing the level of awareness, you're going to be doing work that actually gets you results. It will give you your energy back. It will give you your time back. It will make you profitable again. It is so powerful. So that's why the class is out there. Make sure that you save your seat. I can't wait to see you there. I think you're really going to love it. Thank you so much for joining me today. We talked today about the brand messaging Bible, which is that holy grail of your unique marketing message. And actually, one component is me identifying your ideal customers' level of awareness for you and breaking down exactly how to get them from that level to raving fan status. All for you, and it's just one part of the brand messaging Bible that you can use immediately, just like the rest of it. You're going to be able to take pieces and immediately implement it throughout your marketing to make more sales as soon as you start to put it out there. So if it's even a little bit interesting to you, or if it's intriguing to you and you're curious, check it out. See what's there. Understand all the different things that are involved in a really unique marketing message. And if it makes sense for you to have it done for you super quick, like we meet with you and then we'll get it done within a week, then please consider the Brand Messaging Bible. Take a look in the link in the description box on YouTube or on the podcast show notes. And I think you're going to be really excited to see all that we can do for you to craft your unique marketing message for you. So you don't necessarily have to go through all of these six strategies yourself. You'll get everything handed to you on a silver platter. Thanks for tuning in this week. It was so great to spend this time with you, and I look forward to seeing you next Monday. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to Emma Givens Content and Copy. If you had an aha moment or insight from today's episode, let's make it stick by writing it down in a review. It would actually mean the world to me and my entire team. You can write a review on Apple Podcasts, then screenshot it and tag me on Instagram at Emma Givens Writer. I'd be thrilled to start a conversation with you and reshare your big aha moment with the rest of the audience. Until next time, remember, your voice matters. Let's set it free. See you next week for another episode of Emma Givens Content and Copy.